Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. In the previous Perakim, we've gone through Sekila, Serefa, and Hereg, the different types of execution that the Bet Din does, which is stoning, burning, and beheading. This Perek will focus on the fourth type of execution, which is Henek, strangulation. Mishnah says, Elu hen hanehenakin, these are the ones who are sentenced to strangling. Hamake aviv ve'imo, somebody who hits his mother or his father or his mother. Ve'gonev nefesh mi'Israel, someone who kidnaps a Jew. Ve'zaken mamre al pi bet din, somebody who is a hacham, who rebels against the decision of the high court of the Sanhedrin. Unavi sheker, a false prophet. Ma'mitnabe b'shem avodah zara, somebody who gives prophecy in the name of an idol. V'habal eshet ish, somebody who has relations with a married woman. V'zomeme bat kohen, a zomem witness. Edim zomemim, we'll elaborate more on in the next masechet, masechet makot, are witnesses who falsely testify that a married daughter of a kohen committed adultery. U'bo'ala, and somebody who has relations with the married daughter of a kohen. All of these people are executed with strangulation. The Perek will then talk about these sins one by one, starting with the Mahamake Aviv Imo, somebody who hits his mother and father. Eno Hayav Ad She'aseh Bahen Habura, is not liable until he wounds them, until he actually hits them enough that blood or a bruise is on the skin. If he hits his parent without making a wound, even though he is not executed for that, he definitely has violated a prohibition against hitting somebody. We're contrasting here the two halachot, the prohibition against hitting a parent versus the prohibition of against cursing a parent. They're both hayav mitah, they both get the death penalty. When it comes to the one who curses his parent, it's stricter in one way than that than person who hits his parent. Somebody cursing his parent is hayav, gets the death penalty even after his parents are dead. They aren't around anymore. He still would be liable to execution if he curses them. But if somebody hits his parent after they died, he would not be liable for the death penalty because the body of a dead person cannot be wounded. Now, we'll move on to the second avera I mentioned in the start of this Mishnah, kidnapping. Hagonev nefesh mi'Israel, if somebody kidnaps a Jew, eno hayav ad shiachnisehu lirshuto, he's not liable to execution unless he brings the victim into his possession. So if he's in the victim's house and he doesn't remove him from that house and he's holding on to him, he would not be considered to be kidnapping until he brings him into his possession. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shiachnisehu lirshuto v'yishtamesh bo, says Rabbi Yehuda, not only does he have to bring him into his possession, but he actually has to force him to work. Like the Pasuk says, Shene Emar, Vihita'amed bo umcharola. Like the Pasuk says, if a person was kidnapping a person and he used him and sold him, then the kidnapper is going to die. He has to actually use him in work. Question becomes, the Pasuk says straight out that he uses him. So what is the opinion of Tanakama? They would hold that work, he's not sentenced to death until work is done, but that work could even be less than a Shave Piruta. Let's say, for example, the kidnapper had he leaned on the person he kidnapped. That's enough to be considered Shave Piruta. It's less than a Shave Piruta, but it's still enough to be considered that he kidnapped him and he worked him. But according to the Rabbi Yehuda, unless the work was worth at least a Piruta, then the kidnapper is not killed. Hagonev et beno, somebody kidnaps his own son. Rabbi Ishmael beno shel Rabbi Yehonan ben Beroka mehayev. According to this rabbi, he says that he could still be liable to execution for kidnapping his own son. V'hachamim potrin, but the hachamim disagree. Hachamim say that it cannot be your own son. The pasuk says, v'gonev ish umcharo v'nimsa biyado mot yumat. If a person stole another person, kidnapped another person, umcharo, and sold him, and then v'nimsa biyado, and then he was found in his hand. The person he kidnapped was found in his hand. So we learn from here, according to the hachamim, that the victim is found with a kidnapper at this time, but he wouldn't usually be found with him. And that would exclude his own son. So that's the opinion of Hachamim. Cannot be held liable for kidnapping your own son. Ganav mishi hatsio eved v'hatsio ben horin. If they kidnap the person who is half a slave and half a free man, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, hachamim potrin. Rabbi Yehuda says that he is liable for execution, while hachamim disagree and say he is not liable. Masechet Sanhedrin Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Bet. This Mishnah will talk about the next sin that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that someone is put to death by henek, which is strangulation. Mishnah says, Zaken Mamre Al Pi Bet Din. If you have a Zaken, you have an elder, a Hacham, a sage, who rebels against the decision of the high court of the Bet Din, is put to death. Shene'emar, like the Pasuk tells us, Ki Pale Mimicha Davar Lamishpat. When you have something that is hidden from you, something that you don't know, when you want to go up to the courts for a decision, and you eventually go through the judicial process, you go through the Bet Din, they give a Pesach, they give a bottom line, and then the end of the Pesukim say, V'ha'ish asher ya'aseh bezadon lebildi shemoa ela kohen ha'omed lasharet sham et Adonai Elohecha o ela shofet. If you have someone there who doesn't listen and doesn't accept the authority of the Bet Din, umet ha'isha hu, ubi'arta harami Israel, and that person will die. You should cut out or burn out all the evil from Israel. And then the pasuk says, V'kol ha'am yishme'u ve'yira'u ve'lo yezidun od. And the purpose of this is that the rest of the nation sees it and listens to it and is fearful from it, and they won't rebel anymore. They won't think that they have any authority. The judgment is only with the Bet Din. The Mishnah will not talk about the procedure for what happens when there is a disagreement and one of the Hachamim is so dug in on what he thinks. Shelosha Bate Dinin Hayusham. They go up to Yerushalayim. There were three Bate Din, three courts in Yerushalayim. Ehad Yoshev Al Petach Arabayit. One of the courts sat at the entrance of the Temple Mount. Ve'ehad Yoshev Al Petach Azara. One of the Bate Din was on the entrance of the courtyard. And the third one was in the Lishkat HaGazit, which is a certain chamber in the Bet HaMikdash, which was partly in the Azara as well. First, the rabbi, the Hacham, who had a disagreement, and the Bet Din that he disagreed with in his town, they all came up together to the Bet Din that was on Petah Harabayit, on the entrance of the Temple Mount. Ve'omer, kach v'kach darashti v'kach darshu haverai. And that Hacham says, this is what I taught the public, and my friends here, the other people on the Bet Din, taught the public differently. Kach limaditi v'kach limedu haverai. This is what I taught my students, and this is what my friends taught their students. Im sham'u omrim lahem. If the hachamim, the judges, the dayanim, who are sitting on this Bet Din, if they heard this halakha that this sage, that this hacham was quoting, and then they would tell it to them. They would clarify. But if not, v'im lav ba'in lahem le'otan she'al peta ha'zara. But if they did not hear the law, then this crew, this one rabbi who had a certain opinion, and the rest of the Bet Din from his local town, they would come to the next Bet Din, who were sitting, le'otan she'al petach ha'azara, they were sitting on the entrance to the courtyard. Ve'omer, kach v'kach darashti u'v'kach darshu haverai, they would say, this is what I heard, this is what I taught in public, and this is what my colleagues, my friends taught in public. Kach limaditi v'kach limedu haverai, this is what I taught my students, and this is what my colleagues, my friends taught their students. Im shame'u omrim lahem, if the judges on the second Bet Din heard the law that he was talking about, they would clarify and tell them. V'im lav. But if the judges here in the second Bet Din did not hear this halacha, elu va'elu ba'im le'Bet Din ha'gadol she'bilishkat ha'gazit. And all of the judges here, this one hacham, and then the judges on his local court, as well as the judges of the first two court, would go to the high court of 71 members of the Sanhedrin. They would go for clarity, and they would go stand there. And that Bet Din, shemimenu yotzeh Torah lekol Yisrael, the Torah goes out to the entire Jewish people from this Bet Din, whatever they decide is correct. Shene'emar, min ha'makom ahu asher yibhar Adonai. Like the Pasuk tells us that we have to follow the word from the place that Hashem is going to choose, which is the spot of the Bet HaMikdash, which is the Bet Din that sits over there, the great Bet Din that sits over there. Once they decide the halacha, once they give their bottom line, and the sage, the hacham over here, who had a different opinion, he heard their opinion, he has no right whatsoever to disagree. He cannot disagree with their opinion. Hazar le'iro, if he goes back to his town, Vishana Vilimed Kederech Shahaya Lamed Patur. If he goes back to his town and he continues to learn and to teach like he did before, he has that same opinion, even though the Bet Din Hagadol was against him, but he doesn't try and push anybody to follow and practice his Pesach, then we say he's Patur, he's not liable for the death penalty. But if he instructed people to follow what he told them in practice, or if he acted like that as well, then he's put to death. Like the Pasuk tells us, the man who acts against the Bet Din on purpose, that man is going to die. The fact that he's hayav is only, we say, only until he's ya'aseh, until he causes action, he instructs somebody to act. So what we're saying here is that if he has theories and he has opinions and he has his own ideas, he could stay firm in his thought. But once he's telling people, or he himself is violating the rule of the Beit Din, is undermining the court system of the Jewish people that Hashem gave power to, then that person is put to death, that Acham is put to death. Another halakha about the Zaken Mamre. Talmid shehora la'asot patur, a student who wasn't qualified or on the level to be a dayan, and he goes through everything above, and he rejects the ruling of the Beit Din, and he tells somebody to act according to his own opinion, we say that that person is not liable to be put to death, because only somebody who's on a high level, a judge, could be put to death for that avera. We call this person zaken mamre. That implies that the person's a zaken, he's an elder, he's wise, he's somebody who's qualified. So if someone is not qualified, they wouldn't fit the criteria for a zaken mamre, they would not be put to death. Nimsa humro kulo. The fact is, this man who wasn't qualified to be a dayan, we have here, the more sin he's doing, it ends up being a leniency. In other words, he's doing two things wrong. Number one, he's violating the rule of the Beit Din, which we said was enough to put somebody to death if he was a zaken. But number two, he's giving a halachic ruling and he's not qualified to do that. He's not a hacham. He's not worthy of giving a ruling. So the fact that he's not worthy of giving that ruling makes it leniency for him, because now he's exempt from being put to death with the death penalty because he's not on a high enough level. So it ends up helping him in the long run, and we don't put him to death.